Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Seven o'clock hour. Mark Loretta is going to join us at 7:35. Speaking of players, credibility and very good playing careers. Mark Loretta, a former Padres player, played for Bruce Bochy, played with Phil Nevin and Mark Kotze, was in the Padres front office, I believe, when Will Venable was on the team. I'm going to be interested in his perspective. Also talk about the baseball playoffs. I mentioned the Giants and the Dodgers going to a Game 5. Every other series is done. We know our ALCS matchup is going to be the Boston Red Sox against the Houston Astros. Fifth straight year, the Astros reached the ALCS. Really? Paulie, that kind of surprised me when I heard that yesterday. But really, they've been in the ALCS five straight times?
That does sound alarming.
They're good. I mean, we knew they were good, yet we don't maybe give the Astros... Is it because of the scandal? Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, why is it that we tend to overlook them? They're a really, really good team. Every time October rolls around, we're reminded, oh, yeah, the Astros are a really, really good team, and they still are really, really good, and here they are again.
Man, I already forgot they were in it last year against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's who Tampa Bay beat to get to the World Series to play the Dodgers in the shortened season last year. So they have plenty of experience at this level. It's not like the Boston Red Sox don't. They're back there, and so that series will start on Friday night. And then the Atlanta Braves will wait around to see who wins tomorrow night's game in San Francisco and will play in the National League Championship Series after beating the Brewers 3-1 in closing it out yesterday on their home field in Atlanta. Another good game. The Brewers finally scored some runs. They had gotten shut out twice in a row. This time they went up 2-0, 4-2. Another home run by Rowdy Tellez. But the Braves rallied and if the Braves go on somehow and, you know, shock either the Dodgers or the Giants and get to the World Series, that Freddie Freeman home run off Josh Hader gonna kind of go down in legend. I mean, Freddie Freeman is a future Hall of Famer, but nobody homers off Josh Hader. No one. He's never given up a playoff home run until yesterday. And he hadn't given up any home runs at all since July.
Good God.
And to have it in that moment, in the eighth inning, the bottom of the eighth inning of a tie game, 4-4, you know, an elimination game in the playoffs or your chance to advance right there. I mean, that's going to go probably down as the biggest hit of Freddie Freeman's career, if the Atlanta Braves especially go on and do something special the rest of this October. So that was a huge moment yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. God, Freddie Freeman, man. What would you do to get him out here and play first base for the San Diego Padres? He's a free agent. Saw a lot of people making the joke yesterday. Hey, it's future Padres first baseman, Freddie Freeman, with that home
run. He is the exact, he feels like the exact kind of player that would fit in very well with the Padres, kind of just what they need.
I'm just saying, AJ, if you're listening,
he knows.
If somebody down at the front office is listening, just tell AJ, hey, just make a trip out there this offseason. Don't even talk to Freddie. Walk right past Freddie. Find Charlie, his little son, and say, hey, how would you like it if your dad played with Fernando Tatis Jr.? It's a locked deal.
Let me give you this hypothetical. No. Again, if you're just tuning in, Woodsy's out sick today. It's me and Paul. We're about to play some take on Joss, who's going to join us here in a couple of minutes. We need a contestant, 833-288-0973, our musical trivia game. Call in right now. You could win a trip to Las Vegas, $250 food and beverage credit, 833-288-0973. 0973. We're going to play here in just a moment when Josh walks over from the other side of the building. Let me ask you this. Let's say AJ Preller finds a way to clear some salary, you know, can trade Will Myers and or Eric Hosmer, and he's got $20 to $30 million to play with for a big-name, big-ticket player. One. You can sign one big free agent somehow this offseason. Do you go with, like, a Freddie Freeman to replace a Hosmer at first base if you traded him, or do you have to put it into a pitching, like with a Marcus Stroman? Which direction? If you can only do one, which way do you go in that? I mean, it feels like they have to go with pitching. That's why Freddie Freeman seems a bit pie in the sky dreamish right now. But
I think I don't know that you need a $25, $30 million arm, though. I think you can go out and find other pieces.
The impact of an everyday player might actually be more important. You need to build some depth.
Yeah,
in your pitching, but you need a deep. You said that you need a better lineup with more options and weapons.
We've been talking about it. I mean, outside of Machado, Tatis, and Cronenworth, your lineup really didn't produce much at all. Now, I think you probably need more help in the outfield than you do. I mean, look, you were getting nothing at first base, but you can move Cronenworth over and put Frazier at second. You can move pieces around in the infield, I think. But given the two, either a top line $25 million starting pitcher or going out and get Freddie Freeman. I'd rather go get Freddie Freeman because if Snell, Darvish, and Musgrove aren't healthy next year or aren't performing to what they're capable of and what they should be doing, you're kind of screwed either way.
That's true.
So assuming that they do come back healthy and assuming that they do perform at least at their career averages, then I don't know that you need an ace. I don't know that you need a $20, $30 million pitcher. I think you can go out and get guys that can fill that four and five role in the rotation and provide some depth, maybe in the bullpen, at a much cheaper cost and still go out and get somebody like Freddie Freeman.
Now, Freddie Freeman's actually, he's older than Eric Hosmer. If you did that, you don't care at all. He's only like a year older than Eric Hosmer. So it doesn't make a difference to you that you'd be investing in an older player right now as opposed to someone maybe a little bit younger if you're going to put that much money. I mean, the Padres have spent on big free agents. But remember, every free agent they've signed, the big ones, have been, even Hosmer was only 27, I think, when they signed him. Manny Machado was in his 20s. Fernando Tatis Jr., obviously, in 22 when they signed him. So they tend to look to invest big in those guys that are going to be around for a while. I don't know whether they feel that way about Freddie Freeman. Interesting debate. I see our guest, Joss, has arrived. Come on in, Joss. Yeah, you can come on in.
Do we have headphones for her?
Well, I'll get some headphones for her here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get you some headphones. We're going to ask you to leave in a moment, but I wanted to at least thank you first for coming on in because we have our contestant on the line. We haven't played their half of the game. You remember how our game works. Usually Woods is in, but we get five questions of musical trivia, 60 seconds for one of our listeners, and then you get the same five questions, the same 60 seconds.
Okay.
And then if they can beat or tie you, they will qualify for a getaway to Las Vegas. So,
whoa!
Big
okay.
prize.
Really quick, am I in the right microphone?
Okay, yes, cool. We hear you.
Okay.
We hear you. You sound good.
Okay, cool.
Thank you again for filling in for Woods today on last minute notice. We really appreciate it. Let's get to it. Let's take on Joss.
Woods.
You can see we spare no expense on our production.
We kind of have the same deal down the hall, so don't even worry about it.
All right, so Tanner is going to be our contestant today. Tanner, welcome to Take on Joss today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
All right, so the category in today's game is called J is for Joss. You don't get a choice, dude. We got the one category. It's all about bands and artists who begin with the letter J.
All right.
So, Joss, I'm going to ask you to step out to a soundproof isolation. Anywhere you can't hear us is fine. Outside the studio, and we'll give Tanner his 60 seconds and his five questions. So, Tanner, you'll get 60 seconds on the clock to answer as many of the five questions as possible. If you beat or tie Joss, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing, getaway to Las Vegas, private VIP pod at the Westgate Superbook, largest sports book in the world, $250 food and beverage credit, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. 5 questions. If you want to pass any of them, you can. And if there's time left, we will get back to them at the end. All right, Tanner, we'll start with a 2-second song. Paulie will play a short clip of a well-known hit. If you can give me both the title of the song and the artist, beginning with the letter J, you'll score a point, and then we'll go on to the rest of the questions. You ready to go, Tanner?
Yeah.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. J is for Joss. Good luck. Your time begins when Paulie plays the music. Let's take on Joss. Go, Tanner. That's all right. In 1965, which saxophonist recorded his biggest hit, Shotgun, with his band, the All-Stars? All right, what was the name of the singer in the 1980s cartoon series that followed the adventures of her band, the Holograms? Which Arizona band had a number one alternative hit in 2001 with their song, The Middle? All right, what is the stage name of rapper Jared Higgins, who hit it big with 2018's Lucid Dreams, but died in 2019 at the age of 21 of an overdose after his private jet was raided by police? All right, give him another chance at the 2-second song here, Paulie.
Man, I'm blanking. I'm doing terrible today.
Oh no! That was an over.
Oh,
I hate that.
Boy.
I wish we could have. Well, that's okay. I like Joss to feel good, so yeah. She's going to come back in.
She's going to be happy.
Get the chance at the same 5 questions. Thinking cap on, Joss.
Okay.
So
bring your A game today.
Here's how it works. You'll have 60 seconds. We'll start with a 2-second song. Paulie will play a short clip of a very well-known hit. You need to give me both the title and the artist to score that point, and then we'll go on to the rest of the questions.
Okay.
If you want to pass, we can come back if there's time at the end, if it's like on the tip of your tongue. So you ready to play?
I'm actually nervous.
All right,
why
that's
am
okay.
I nervous
that's
again?
All right. Just have fun. Here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music in our 2-second song. Good luck. Let's take on Joss.
I think we just played that. It's Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band.
Correct.
No, we did not play that.
In 1965, which saxophonist recorded his biggest hit, Shotgun, with his band, the All-Stars?
Jay?
Incorrect. Which is the name of the singer of the 1980s cartoon series that followed the adventures of her band, the Holograms?
Jam!
Correct. Which Arizona band had a number one alternative hit in 2001 with their song, The Middle?
2001 with them. Pass!
What is the stage name of rapper Jared Higgins, who hit it big in 2018 with Lucid Dreams but died in 2019 at the age of 21 after an overdose on his private jet when it was raided by police?
Okay, go back to one of the ones I don't
know. All right, let's
go
back to 1965. Which saxophonist recorded his biggest hit, Shotgun, with his band, the All-Stars?
Shotgun.
You know the song.
I know the song! I don't know. Give me another one.
Stage name of rapper Jared Higgins. Arizona band, number one hit with their song, The Middle. All right, well, you did. You got 2. You got Centerfold by J. Giles Band.
Okay.
And you got Jem and the Holograms.
Did
you watch that show?
I knew of it.
You knew of it.
I knew of it. I don't know if, like, the Smurfs were on at
the same time.
I was pretty particular when I was a kid.
So it's Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Shotgun. Jimmy Eat World is The Middle. Her reactions are actually the best part of this.
100%.
And then the rapper Jared Higgins, no relation, is called Juice WRLD was his name.
He
passed
that
away.
Happening.
That was kind of a headline, but it was a couple of years ago. You know what, though? Tanner didn't do very well. You beat him 2-0. So you are a winner today, Joss, Take on Joss.
Tanner.
And we appreciate you coming in and filling in again for Woodsy. You bring so much energy. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. I brought so much energy. I'm too tired to go back and do the rest of our show.
We wish Woodsy could bring half
we
the energy.
We wiped her out on Take on
Woodsy
Joss
just
this morning.
Woodsy just kicks his feet back, goes 5-for-5, and acts like he's too cool for school.
Oh,
so.
And I'm a spaz.
Well, he's resting up for our golf tournament, which is coming up. Get ready for the Penske Lincoln Ben and Woods Open Friday, November 5th at Encinitas Ranch. Visit PenskeLincoln.com today, sponsored in part by Top Turf and Pavers, Artificial Grass, Real Customer Service, and by Computer Kids, the national leader in bridging the digital divide. We've got Don't Do This coming up next, and an update, even though he's already resigned. John Gruden isn't done with the humiliation and indignation of everything that's going on right now. So, have a little more on John Gruden coming up next. Right now, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Three stories to make you shake your head. Woodsy out today, so he's going to miss. Mark Loretta is going to be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk more baseball, managerial search. Just get caught up on one of our good friends here. So looking forward to chatting with Lowe here in about 10 minutes. But we'll get to our three stories. And again, as I said, the John Gruden fallout hasn't ended. But even John, after retiring or resigning as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, isn't done being thoroughly humiliated after the release of all those offensive emails. The Tampa Bay Bucks, who had lifted Gruden into their ring of honor after he, you know, helped them win a Super Bowl as head coach, took him out yesterday. Quote, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have advocated for purposeful change in the areas of race relations, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion for many years in a team statement. While we acknowledge John Gruden's contributions on the field, his actions go against our core values as an organization. Therefore, he will no longer continue to be a member of the Buccaneers' Ring of Honor. So let me get the... So O.J. Simpson's still in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? But John Gruden is out of the Bucs Ring of Honor. Now, you can say that the Bucs are doing this, you know, because of their standards. Remember that one of the emails that was released, he said some very nasty things about the owner of the Bucs, Mr. Glazer, I believe his name was, was part of that. So there may be a bit of retribution and spite as part of this move as well, taking him out of their Ring of Honor. That's not all. I also saw that he lost his Skechers endorsement deal.
Oh, as well.
So that really hurts.
Of course he had a Skechers.
Of course he did.
Endorsement. I saw a lot of sentiment like, okay, you know, good on the Bucks, I guess, for what they're doing. Now,
I'm not going to give them too much credit for this move.
Prove that it's not just a PR move and making yourselves look good at a time where John Gruden is down because, you know, and down at his own... because of his own actions, of course. But this is still the team that puts Antonio Brown out on their field in uniform every week. So let's not go.
Warren Sapp is their Ring of Honor. And
right. Maybe we don't have to laud them as the moral compass of the NFL.
Right, exactly.
Look, the fallout of the John Gruden scandal and all the emails with the Washington football team, it's going to continue for a long time. I mean, what is over 650,000 emails that the NFL?
Yeah, no. Now, will the NFL be able to keep these from seeing the light of day? I know the Players Association is lobbying to have them released. There's been a lot of public pressure. As of now, I mean, obviously there's some emails that the NFL, they probably aren't relevant, but they also, you know, you can't, I mean, no business would just want to release tons and tons of emails just to show how the sausage is made, essentially, in the back. Is not a great thing. But if they don't, they're going to be accused, rightfully so, of a lack of transparency, which is terrible in situations like this. So they're really kind of between a rock and a hard place on this story.
Well, ESPN's Adam Schefter, one of the more respected people in the NFL media world, he's gotten dragged into this story now because emails were leaked out that between Adam Schefter and Bruce Allen, the then owner of the Washington football team, and Schefter was doing a story about the NFL lockout, you know, potentially coming to fruition, and he sent Bruce Allen a full draft of his story that he was planning to publish. He said, "Please let me know if you see anything that should be added, changed, or tweaked. Thanks for that and the trust. Plan to file this to ESPN about 6 a.m. And Schefter's getting dragged.
Yes, he is.
Dragged by his colleagues, just at ESPN, but all across the sports media world, because that is not what you are supposed to do.
This is like at SeaWorld when you go to the Shamu show. You're not in the show, but you get hit by the splash from about 10 rows up. Schefter's getting hit by the splash on this story.
He's
10 rows up.
Like, oh, for the love
now,
of God.
It is what he did unforgivable? I won't go that far. I think...
Should he be fired? No.
I think it certainly doesn't... It doesn't follow normal journalistic practices. You don't send someone else a story and tell them, hey, if there's anything wrong, just change it and let them read the whole thing. Now, I think his intentions were, I want to make sure I've got it right. And every journalist should want to make sure they get it right and not publish. Now, if he simply just said, hey, just write my story and I'll turn it in, whatever you say just goes, that would be horrible. Now, if Bruce Allen came back and said, hey, I read this paragraph. It's completely wrong. I think you should make some changes. And then Adam Schefter goes and does some more research and changes that paragraph. I totally get that. There's a much better way that Adam Schefter could have done that, though. If he had specific questions about a couple of things, hey, can you confirm this? Or I'll read you this sentence or this passage. Is this true? Do I have this right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
But
now,
you don't give him the entire story.
Yeah, sending
about
the entire story and joking and calling him Mr. Editor, in the email, that looks really bad.
Yeah, ESPN followed it. They released a statement in response to all of this. They said, without sharing all the specifics of the reporter's process for a story from 10 years ago during the NFL lockout, we believe that nothing is more important to Adam and ESPN than providing fans the most accurate, fair, and complete story. That's kind of just a dance around because, of course, they want to be accurate. But like you just said, there's a difference between, hey, just to confirm this did happen or did not happen. That's different than here's my entire story. Make sure it makes you look like the good guy here and send it back to me and let me know.
Right. He could have handled that a lot better. Did he ever anticipate that anyone was going to ever see that email? No, but hey, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander here.
Oh,
and if John Gruden can get bitten by old email, so can the reporters that covered John Gruden in the NFL. Just a reminder that an email is not the most secure form of communication ever devised. And someday someone might see an email that you wrote 10 years ago. So keep that in mind, I guess.
Ben, just keep all your salacious emails to your personal
account. We went through some of those yesterday on the show. Oh. Woodsy dug up all my terrible emails from 10 years ago. All right, finally, little coaches going back and forth in the Big Ten. You had the big game on Saturday between number 3 and number 4, Iowa against Penn State. And during that game, Iowa fans were taking some heat because they were actually... They were booing some injured Penn State players. Like a Penn State player would go down during the game, and Iowa fans started booing. You're not supposed to boo hurt players on the field,
even
if they're on the opposing team. It's just not right. Now, Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz said today, well, he feels like maybe the fans smelled a rat, that the Penn State players were faking injuries. And they looked on the sidelines and said, hey, why are some of these guys coming in just one play later, two plays later? Is this a strategy to slow us down? Maybe that there was something going on. So Kirk Ferentz was defending his fans. Now, there were legitimate injuries during that game that you absolutely should not boo. The Penn State, their head coach came back and said, James Franklin said, but we don't even run a hurry-up offense. Why would we have to fake injuries to slow things? I mean, Iowa doesn't run a hurry-up offense. Why would we have to fake injuries to slow things down? They huddle and everything. There's no point in doing that. That makes no sense. Why are those fans booing my injured players? That's just rude. And that's a good point. It's like, you don't need to slow down a team that's not running a hurry-up.
You see it in soccer sometimes. Big game, team's down 3-2 with 3 minutes left. You'll see a guy on the team that's losing will all of a sudden be hurt, and then you get some stoppage time and they get a chance to catch their breath or kind of regroup.
Yeah, they get the magic spray and they hop right back up.
This would be like the team that's winning doing that. Like, no, they're not trying to slow the clock down.
James, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? yeah, we had guys. Some guys got hurt worse than others. Some guys came back in. It happens. It's a football game. Those Iowa fans, they're nuts for booing my players when they were hurt on the field. So ultimately, I think it goes back to the Iowa fans getting the don't do this here on a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're going to talk some baseball playoffs, off-season manager searches with a guy who's been inside the Padres front office, played for the Padres and many other teams during a successful Major League Baseball career. Chat with Mark Loretta coming up next on Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Discover a soundtrack all your own by Odyssey. Check out the new exclusive stations on the Odyssey app today. Looking forward to talking baseball with Mark Loretta. It's been too long. Baseball playoffs, managerial searches, everything. Mark Loretta standing by. We'll get to him right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, joining us right now on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, 15-year Major League Baseball veteran, former member of the Padres front office, former bench coach for the Chicago Cubs, one of my favorite guys in baseball, Mark Loretta, with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Mark, great to have you on this morning.
Piggy, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Good morning.
Or nice sauce nice for the goose is sauce for the gander.
It's,
it works either
goose,
way.
Goose, right?
It's good. Is it sauce? What is it?
What's a gander exactly?
It's a male goose. It's a gander. It's a male goose.
Gotcha.
All right, so let me start Dodgers Giants. You actually you played your last year with the LA Dodgers of your career, your 15-year career, so got to experience that rivalry a little bit. Have never met in the playoffs until this year, and of course now it's going the distance, 5 games. I mean, we really haven't seen this before. 106 win teams. They both now won 109 games. Someone's going home tomorrow, and that's going to be tough for the team that does not win that game.
Yeah, incredible. I can't wait to watch it on Thursday. You're right. I mean, those two teams had amazing seasons, and particularly the Giants. I mean, I think everybody, including myself, and I think probably you, Higgy, as well, thought the Giants at some point were going to hit a skid or implode a little bit. They just weren't on everybody's radar this season, and they never slumped. I mean, I think they lost 3 games in a row, only one time all year. So, you know, really impressive there. And, of course, the Dodgers are such a machine. So, really looking forward to Thursday. You know, I think the Giants might have the upper hand being back home. And you know, Webb, their pitcher, if he can pitch like he did last time, it's going to be tough.
Now, you play for two American League teams in your career. They happen to be meeting each other now in the American League Championship Series, the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox. And Paulie and I were both actually surprised this morning when we said, yeah, this is the fifth straight year the Astros have been in the ALCS. I didn't even realize that they had been that consistent. We know how good they are, but I guess I had just forgotten that they keep getting in it every single year. That's got to be among the toughest things to do, is that level of consistency, seeing it from the Dodgers, now seeing it from the Astros in the American League.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And I think I think last year I had played for all four teams that made the NLCS.
Well, that's ALCS, what I mean. You're doing good this year. I mean, the Brewers,
yeah,
playoffs, Astros playoffs, Red Sox, Dodgers playoffs. I mean, yeah, you got a lot of former teams in the postseason, Mark.
Yeah, what a foundation I set for the team. no, you're right. The Astros, I mean, they're solid. I mean, they've got great depth in their lineup. They've got very good pitching. You know, I think that scandal really turned off a lot of people, including myself. I mean, I think I thought it was a really bad deal. But, you know, I'd be shocked. I know there were some comments thrown out by, I think it was Tapera, one of the pitchers for the White Sox, saying, you know, he thought they might be doing something again. I'd be shocked if they went down that road again. I don't think they would. So, I mean, they're a good team. Whether they knew what was coming or not, they're a solid team. You got to give Dusty Baker some credit too, coming into a tough spot there. I think that was, you know, the right guy at the right time for them, and they're impressive.
Mark Loretta is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. The Braves are also impressive. They took out the Brewers yesterday, and I think what surprised me, I went back and looked it up because I was curious. When the Padres and Braves met back in late July, July 21st. The Padres beat the Braves, and they were winning that suspended game. At that moment, the Padres were 56-42. They were 14 games above 500. They were 8 games ahead of the Braves, who were 46-48 at that point in the season. What has been behind this turnaround? I mean, they lose Acuna. You feel like, all right, it's just not their year. Yet somehow they go on this run and find themselves back in the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, you know, I haven't followed them that closely, but I guess it's just, pardon me, they're just a confidence thing. I mean, they got on a roll, and, you know, Freddie Freeman's really, really cared. The ball he hit off a hater yesterday was unbelievable. I mean, what a big hit.
Probably I mean, I know you faced some tough pitchers in your career, but that guy in particular seems like the last person I ever want to see in a situation like that.
I mean, left on left too. It's just you know, lefties never touch him, let alone righties. So that was amazing. But you know, I think they just they've been there before. This core group of players with Dansby Swanson and you know, some of the guys they have there, they've been there before. Ozzie Albies and I feel like, you know, they probably didn't panic when they were a game or two under 500 at that stage of the season, and you know, felt like they were a good club and played well down the stretch.
So, Mark, for the teams that didn't make the playoffs, the offseason is underway, and for at least a couple of those teams, they're looking for a new manager, including the San Diego Padres. And one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you today is that we're seeing the lists of candidates out there for managerial jobs. And I noticed you have a connection with a number of them. You played for Bruce Bochy, obviously, when you were with the Padres. His name has come up a lot, of course, in connection with the Padres job, but guys like Phil Nevin and Mark Kotze, you know, who were teammates of yours in the past, are also on these lists of people getting interviews. And I don't know, are you going to jump back in after your stint coaching with the Chicago Cubs and interested in maybe getting back into it in 2022?
Well, it was interesting. It's good timing. I actually played golf yesterday with Mark Kotze, Phil Nevin, and Trevor Hoffman. So we obviously that topic was thrown around.
Thanks for the invite.
All right, well, yeah, spill everything right now, Mark. Here we go. I want to hear it all.
Yeah. We're all our course is closed, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
I did see your dad on the putting green. He's always out there grinding, which is awesome. But anyway, I think, you know, both Phil and Kotz have been coaching, have, you know, quite a bit of major league coaching experience. Neither one has managed, but I think they've also had, you know, distinguished playing careers, which I think can help, you know, coming into a clubhouse and connecting with guys in terms of, you know, they know you've been there and they probably remember you even if, you know, if they were little kids when you were playing, et cetera. So I think. They would be great candidates. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's the first year I haven't been with a team since I was drafted, which is interesting. So, you know, it not necessarily dying to get back in, but in the right situation, would certainly think about it. Then you mentioned Bruce Bochy, good friend of mine, mentor, played for him. You know, we won the division 2005, which was a lot of fun. I think he'd be fantastic if you could convince him to come back in. I do think he wants to manage again. Talk about instant credibility, you know, walking right in. Everybody knows him in San Diego. Players know him. He's a Hall of Famer. That might delay his Hall of Fame candidacy a little bit, which would be unfortunate. But I think he'd be a great fit. I do think, you know, just from reading the tea leaves, I think the team will look at either experienced managers or guys who have coached and maybe had distinguished playing careers, you know, after having, I think, Andy Green and Jace Tingler, who were great baseball men, but didn't really have that. They didn't have experience as manager. They didn't have really distinguished playing careers. I think they'll probably go down a different route this time.
Talking to Mark Loretta here this morning on Ben and Woods. Mark, I don't know how different the baseball player is now compared to when you were playing, but if you could put yourself in a major league clubhouse right now as a player, what is the most important thing to players when a new manager is coming in? Is it big league experience? Is it having managerial experience? Like, what do you think the players are looking for in a new manager?
Yeah, I think just the superficial stuff right away is, you know, credibility, either managing or having kind of a distinguished career. And then after that, honestly, it's, do I really feel like this guy cares about me as an individual and cares about the team deeply? You know, the best managers I had, including Boach and, you know, Phil Garner and Tito Francona. You just really felt like these guys cared about you as an individual, cared about you and your career, and cared about the team, of course, above everything. So if you can get that kind of combination, I think you're off to a good start.
Mark, I know you haven't worked for the Padres in a while, but you live here. You saw the expectations for this year's team and how it got built up. And then, I mean, what was your reaction to the second half collapse, just kind of from watching the team just kind of playing casually, and what happened to this club here in 2021?
You know, I kind of fell into the mode of, you know, don't worry, the Padres, they'll be fine. They're going through a skid here. And you know, I thought, at no point did I think they wouldn't make the playoffs, really, until real late in the season. And I certainly didn't think they would finish under 500. So, you know, as a San Diegan, as a fan, it was disappointing for sure. You know, and I think maybe since they got off to such a great start that was the feeling that, hey, you know, we're fine. We're, you know, 95% chance to make the playoffs back in July 31st. So maybe there was a little bit of a letdown there. I don't know. But it can happen fast. It can turn quickly. And, you know, it was pretty devastating, I think, for the community who really, you know, got behind the team and were so excited. I mean, those games back in Petco when the fans were first let back were incredible. So, the good thing is it's still a very good nucleus of players. There's a lot of talent there. There's guys going to come back from injury, particularly on the pitching side. So, and I expect the Padres to be right back in it next year and hopefully for, you know, a good 5 to 10 year run here. But you can't take that for granted. It's not just going to happen. So I think the organization is going to look hard at what happened, what they can improve, how the roster can be tweaked, et cetera, and get back after it.
All right, I've saved the most important question for last, Mark Loretta. Who won golf yesterday? And kind of give me a breakdown of Phil Nevin, Mark Kotze, and Trevor Hoffman all on the golf course.
Oh, geez. Well, we played like a 6-6-6, you know.
Changing partners, yeah, every six holes, sure.
Changing partners, yep, exactly. And so I think Kotze won 2 out of 3 matches, and then the other three of us only won one. So Phil Nevin, probably the best player, hits the ball a mile. Probably, you know, he's probably a +1 handicap. Not really, the four of us didn't really have our best game, but we're all pretty, you know, in that, you know, 0 to 10 handicap type of range. So we had fun. Unfortunately, we played at the Bridges, and they punched their greens. So Higgy, as you know, that was kind of tough.
But yeah, no, you can't judge anything with aerated greens, Mark. That's just,
yes, aerated, exactly. And so we were taking 2-putt max. So that was good though. You just ram it, try to make it, and then pick up.
Did anyone ask Phil about sending Aaron Judge at third base? No.
That came up. Sure.
I felt bad for him. I mean, it's going to happen to anyone.
I felt bad for him too. Yeah, if you don't send him, they can't score. But you know, really, I mean, I texted Phil the night it happened, and I said, "Hey, buddy, I can totally, you know, see why you sent him, and there was a whole host of reasons." But you know, on the flip side, here's the ugly side of that. I mean, he came in from that game, and there were threats to his house. People had posted his address and aerial pictures of his home here in San Diego, and said, let's go bomb the place, and you know, just crazy stuff like that.
The crazy thing is, if the throw hops past the catcher or the cutoff man bobbles it and he scores, Phil Nevin is a genius and he's the greatest third base coach that ever lived. And what aggressive base running, you know, pushing the action. I mean, it's baseball. It's, you know, it's a game of inches and execution, and just didn't work out that time for Phil.
It was just a tremendous play by the Red Sox. Ball hits high off the monster, gets past the outfielder. The guy backs it up, Kiki, throws it in to Bogarts, who was actually conceding the run, in my opinion. He was pointing to second base. Let's keep the runner off of second. And then he got it so quickly that he was able to make a throw, and it was just a perfect play. So, yeah, to threaten a guy's family after that is sad. But, you know, luckily those are just a few and far between fans. But, yeah, it was, you know, he was hurt by that for sure.
Well, Mark, it's a great catching up with you. I'll be listening for your name out there in the wind this off season,
thank you,
just in case it's out there. But always great catching up with you. Thank you.
Likewise. I'll see you on the course.
Mark Loretta on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. That's funny because, Paul, is it not true? I texted you. I said, let's get Mark on. He played with Mark Kotze and Phil Nevin, would have great perspective.
Yeah.
He played baseball with them 15 years ago.
Not
I didn't,
on
I didn't
the course
mean
with
saw
them
yes,
as we were texting, probably.
Yes. And would be, you know, have some immediate insight on what those guys were thinking. But that worked out even better than I could have possibly imagined on the timing of that interview.
Those guys probably didn't have any fun when they're out there golfing together. That just sounds awful.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you even bring it up with Phil. Is that like one of the, like, is that a subject you don't touch or you do bring it up? Like, ouch.
Ooh. Oh, I would have brought it up if I was friends with him like that on the course. Absolutely. I'd probably wait until he, like, maybe had beaten me on a couple of holes.
Yeah, especially if he's driving at, you know, 300 yards out there. He said he's the big hitter of the group.
Like,
so,
all right, that's, you gotta take him down.
Gotta take him down a peg or two. So, that was interesting stuff. He brought up the same conversation that we had. That there are really two possibilities for the Padres as manager. Go with the established, the veteran manager who's done it over and over again. Or if you go with an inexperienced manager, it has to be a credible player who had a solid playing career that can get immediate buy-in from the clubhouse. That's basically like the ticket to get in the door. Then to be successful, Mark said, and what I always hear, every single person, when you ask them that question, the successful managers are the ones that make the players think that they care. You know, I care about you as a person, as a player, and I care about our team and our success. That's the most important thing to me. I think Jace Tingler had that in spades.
You would think so,
he
right?
had that in spades, but he didn't ever have the... you know, the prerequisite to get into the door really in the first place.
But
and that
experience.
Was the experience, the playing career, something that told you, hey, I know that this guy can get through a tough moment because I saw him do it with that other team, or I saw him do it when he was a player, at least. No one ever saw him do it, so he didn't have that instant credibility that allowed the players to have that faith in him. He had everything else. I will guarantee you could tell that Jace Tingler cared so much deeply about the men, as he liked to call them, in his clubhouse, the 26 men, that he would have done anything for those guys.
Battled.
But unfortunately, he just couldn't have that thing that he just never had, and that was that, you know, that experience that would have made it, I think, more comfortable for those players to really fully 100% believe that he was going to get them through a tough period.
Yeah, and now, if, you know, those being the two kind of prerequisites for the new manager, it doesn't seem like you can go one or the other. Somebody that has experience, played the game, and also managed maybe, but the players don't feel like they give a crap about them, that's not going to work either. You have to find the perfect mixture, and from what Loretta said, I mean, Bruce Bochy kind of checks all of those boxes, right?
All right, we've got 1 hour left. Paulie's got a roundup report coming up, including, I just saw a kind of a Gruden-esque retirement by one member of Smash Mouth. Did I see that correctly, Paulie? Is that what we're getting
band.
Here?
Yeah.
So we'll get to that coming up. We're also giving away some tickets to the San Diego Loyal. They're trying to clinch a playoff spot this weekend, and we'll be able to send you out to the match. That's coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.